Hello, everybody. Good morning and welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. I hope you're doing very well. This is your latest Manchester United transfer news this Thursday, the 10th of July. We're fast approaching halfway through this transfer window, but we're slowly approaching transfers. Or could it be about to change? We've got big updates around Garnacho, which could bring in pure profit, which could allow us to sign Mbeumo and maybe look at a striker. And we'll be looking at that striker situation because although there is sensational headlines coming out of Portugal that Arsenal might retract from a Jokeres deal, I don't think Man United are looking at that. There is links to Ekitike again, which we can talk about too. We've got quotes coming out from Heaven and not God, like, or Jesus, like, I mean, Aiden Heaven. And we've got quotes coming in from Cunha as well, as Amorim basically is told to make do with what he's got for now. The plan is to continue and do that. And we've got a few, I don't like talking about this player. Can you guess who it is? We will talk about them. There is an update about them. I don't want to talk about them. It's, of course, Jadon Sancho. So thanks, everyone. Chris says he'd love to get some quotes from Heaven. Yeah, I mean, we're not going to do that. Imagine that. I mean, Goldbridge Live with quotes from Heaven. John wants to hear from his dog. I'm all right. It's great here. I miss the walks and the heavy petting, but that sounds sexual. But I'm having a great time up here and I'm being treated really well. Can't wait to see you later in the afterlife. Also, we've got Steve, who is missing. No, he was actually missing. But is it? No. We won't do that. Okay, let's get into the show. Hope you're all doing very well. Where shall we start? Well, I think where we should start is, and I'm live at 2 o'clock with Ben Jacobs, so I'm looking forward to that because Beth normally does it, but she's on holiday, so I really want to get a grasp of where we are with things. But late last night, it came in from the Mirror that Napoli were ready to come back in for Garnacho for £45 million. And it sort of prompted a tweet that I put out at the start of June, where I said something like, "Morning all, Garnacho to Napoli nailed on by the end of the month." Now, quite rightly, I live in this world of social media. Few people at the start of July had waited and said, "Goldbridge knows nothing. He said Garnacho to Napoli by the end of the month is nailed on and it didn't happen. He knows nothing. His sources are terrible." Well, look, I'll hold that, but the transfer window is still open and it is still what I was told at the start of June from people close to that particular transfer. It's his best option. Napoli really, really do like him. And he was very close to going there in January. Now, I'd say there's two reasons he hasn't signed for Napoli yet. One, it's Manchester United and we're absolutely snail shit when it comes to transfers. And two, I think Garnacho was on some crusade that he was going to stay in the Premier League and prove everybody wrong. That's proving harder than he thought. So I think that the Napoli deal is still very, very likely, in my opinion, and stand by what I was told. What the Napoli sporting director said about this back in June. Oh, I've got a great quote, by the way. Remind me about this. Spin. Just say that at some point. I'll come back to it. But Napoli sporting director Gianni Marna actually spoke about Garnacho in February. And this is what he had to say. He said, "Garnacho is a player that we like. We've always liked. We were looking at him even before Kvaratskhelia left. We made a very important offer to United and we came very close to their demands. Very close. However, a deal in January was always difficult because in order to leave the Premier League in January, the player probably wanted to be satisfied financially. It's something we couldn't really do at that stage of the season when you bring in a young player on a high salary and you're trying to achieve things with players that have done stuff for the team. Obviously, they went on to win the league, so it was the right decision. But look, they're interested. They do like him. People talk about the player that they bought in quite recently, but this is the easiest deal for Manchester United to do when you look at the players that they're trying to sell. And the situation is this: Marcus Rashford has got no options and is desperately trying to train with a club that he's been saying he wants to leave for 7 months. He's had his number 10 shirt taken away. He's flirted with Barcelona. He said Villa was the best place he's ever played. He definitely wants to leave, but now he's realised no one wants him, so he's desperately trying to get back. Jadon Sancho just is greedy and will not lower his wage demands. Malacia I mean, look, if he can find a club, that's great. Antony wants to go to Betis and Betis wants Antony, but they can't afford him. And Garnacho, to be fair, is the one that is probably going to get some interest, is pure profit and needs to play. So I am absolutely convinced at this stage that the reason Mbeumo hasn't signed and we're in this ridiculous situation where Kudos and Elanga are having medicals today in half the time that we've been dealing with the Mbeumo deal, I think we've seen this movie before, as I said last night. I think that we're just not saying it publicly, but we should all have figured it out. Like the Litton Mazraoui, we wouldn't do it till Wan-Bissaka had gone. Like Ugarte, we wouldn't do it till McTominay's gone. And I feel with Mbeumo, we're not doing it until we've got somebody out the door. And that's why it's taking so long. So Garnacho could be the most likely player that we can get out the door. And let's hope that something's in that. What I would say is, people are reporting this morning a £45 million deal. I do wish people would actually do proper research if they're going to put themselves out there as aggregators or content creators. The deal is £45 million package. It's not £45 million to Manchester United. Because this causes problems. It causes problems for Manchester United. It causes problems for you in the fan base. Because people start going, I thought it was £45 million. It's not. It's a £45 million package. So it could be 35 plus 10. It could be 30 plus 15. But it's not £45 million up front. Some people are talking like it's £45 million plus add-ons. It's not. It's a £45 million package. We would have to put in sell-on clauses. We would have to put in maybe a buyback clause. But it won't be £45 million up front. It will be maybe 35 if we're lucky, which isn't good enough when you think about Pedro, Gittins, Mbeumo, Cunha, Elanga, all going for north of 50. We can't get anywhere near that with Garnacho, but that's our own fault. So I'm hopeful that this is going to start moving because Napoli are still interested. It's his best option. Beyond that, I thought Chelsea in the Premier League, but doing the Chelsea watch along the other night with Chelsea fans, they were saying, we don't want Garnacho. We don't even want him. So I think this is the best option. From what I understand from Garnacho's camp, there's rumours that he is individually training at Carrington. I don't know whether that's true. He's definitely individually training. But he obviously is a little bit younger than Rashford and doesn't really have the, you know, clout of Rashford in the British media to back him. So Garnacho isn't liked by the British media, if we're being completely honest. So he's not really up for playing the game that Rashford's doing, where you try and, you know, have a bit of a player power battle with the manager and play on the heartstrings of, oh, should we pick him? Garnacho knows he's got to get out, and every day he's not out is a problem for him. So hopefully we get some movement on that. I get the feeling that if Garnacho just commits to Napoli, that deal can happen very, very quickly. But I say quickly, it's Man United negotiating, isn't it? And United have got some very weird ideas. On the one hand, they want £60 million for Garnacho. And on the other hand, they don't think Mbeumo's worth £60 million. On the one hand, they want £40 million for Rashford. But on the other hand, they didn't think that they can't bid for Gyökeres. So it was it'll be interesting how that develops. But certainly, we've spoken about this for about 6 weeks now. Garnacho-Napoli is there to be done. I just think that United are slow and Garnacho probably was thinking about a Premier League club, which it's not going to happen. There's not a lot of clubs that have got the money to go and do deals at the moment. I think Villa would like him, but they don't have the funds. We could definitely love a Lego building channel, says Jay Law. I'd love to do that. Love to do that. Let me talk to you about Mbeumo. I just want to talk to you about this one very, very quickly. So I was doing a watch along last night, PSG Real Madrid, what a game that was actually. And there was something in the chat saying that there'd been an update from somewhere that the reason this deal hasn't been done is because Brentford keep moving the goalposts on the price. And I'll say now what I said last night. This is not the case. It doesn't matter who you talk to or who you read. Anybody of credibility will tell you, and you know yourselves, Brentford haven't moved any goalposts. They want 60 million. They've always wanted 60 million and we've never offered 60 million. We've offered 45 and 55. Add-ons are irrelevant. They want 60 million up front. It's the same thing that Sporting wants from Arsenal. They don't want 55, they want 60. And you know, when you look at it, That's always been the case. So anybody who's putting it out there that Brentford keep moving the goalposts and Man United, the reason Man United have taken 7 weeks is because Brentford keep moving the goalposts, they're just Glazer sympathisers. They're just Ineos sympathisers. Like, I want to back Man United on this, and we have had our pants pulled down over the years, no doubt about it. But it's always been 60 million. And the market dictates it's 60 million based on other transfers that we've made and others have made. And if we offer 60 million and Brentford reject it, then I think we can all say, right, Brentford are taking the piss. But until we offer the 60 million, we've not completed the deal. And I think the truth of the matter is, in my opinion, the reason this deal is taking so long is because we haven't sold anybody. I think we want to sell someone before we buy someone else. And I think with Cunha, we had the 20 million to pay in year one, because that's all we've got to pay. And I think that's our only, and people forget this, we've only paid 20 million in this transfer window. You count up what other clubs have spent, it's incredible. We've spent 20 million. Cunha's a £62 million player, but we're only paying £20 million in year one. So after spending 20 million, we're already in a position where we're going, we're not buying anyone else until we sell someone. And that's what's happening with Mbeumo. We are not willing to commit to their fee until we sell somebody. And I think that's where we are with it. So look, there are people out there who strangely still pretend that they've got information, or strangely, you know, back Ineos and the Glazers in what is just not a backable situation at the moment. They can turn things around, but let's not put the blame onto Brentford. Let's not put the blame onto Brentford. Let's not put, you know, Brentford are not the big bad wolf. If anything, we're the big club. We're the ones that are taking the piss, and we haven't offered the 60 million. And I guarantee, as soon as we do, we'll be in a position where that deal either gets done or we can walk away because Brentford are taking the piss. But offer the money first. Offer the money. We're moving slower than a snail, says Boich. Thank you very much for that. Just a little bit of something coming in. I don't really want to dwell on this too much, but it's coming in from Portuguese sources, Ebola. You might remember the Ebola from the Bruno Days record, Ebola. There's a few. But anyway, they have said in the last few minutes, Arsenal are about to give up on a deal for Victor Gyökeres due to the demands of Sporting's president, Frederico Fernandes. I am not interested in this story. I saw it. I've seen a few people talking about it. I've seen a few people talking about it in the live chat before we went live. I'm not interested in this story because he wants to go to Arsenal. Arsenal want him. And it's a bit like Mbeumo. That deal will happen. And Arsenal will do that deal. And Gyökeres will get that deal done. And Sporting will allow that deal to get done. This is just bartering to get the deal done. It's a bit of pressure on Sporting. We're going to walk away. You've got a player that's on strike. You're arguing over 55 million. You're arguing over 5 million. Just take the offer that we're putting on the table. But Arsenal can't walk away from that deal. And I'll tell you why. They can't walk away from that deal because they're not going to get a better deal for Sesko. And they can't walk away from that deal because they've let it publicly be known that Gyökeres was the player that they want. So if they go for Sesko, Sesko knows, Arsenal fans know, everybody knows that that's their second best option. That puts huge pressure onto Arteta straight away. They'll get this deal done. So I'm not getting involved in it. And we couldn't hijack it because, I mean, we couldn't hijack this deal at all. We're not in a position to hijack it anyway. We haven't got the money to do it. Nicholas says, do you think that Hospital FC can buy Luke Shaw for 30 million? I mean, he is on rehab all the time, says Nicholas. Thank you very much. A man can dream, they bottled it before, says Robbie G. Thank you very much for that. Just on the striker situation, though, I think we are very lax at the moment in relation to what this football club is doing about a striker. Correct me if I'm wrong, but striker is the number one priority for Manchester United. And I think it's bloody disgusting where we are at the moment. I'm seeing people talking about Xerxes being the striker. Rasmus is still here. Obi's 17. We needed a striker 2 years ago. We needed a striker a year ago, and we need a striker now. And pre-season Pirlo mentality, where people just get lost in the fantasy of pre-season, needs to stop. We need a bloody striker. And I tell you what, being linked to Jamie Vardy, Calvert-Lewin, and players of that quality is depressing. It's amazing how low the Glazers and Sir Jim Radcliffe can take the mentality of this fan base, where people are saying, I think Jamie Vardy could do a job at Manchester United, or I think Calvert-Lewin could do a job at Manchester United. Calvert-Lewin couldn't do a job at Everton. He's bloody injured all the time, and he's not that good. He doesn't score many goals. Vardy was decent 5 years ago. Not now. I don't know whether anybody watched the Premier League last year, but he didn't tear it up. He's not the same player. He's approaching retirement. Where do people get these opinions from? Poundland. They're absolutely terrible opinions. But that's the situation the club have put us into. Desperate street. We are so desperate that people are talking about Vardy doing a job for a year. Since when do we want an old, past-it Premier League striker up front for Manchester United? I mean, at least with Ronaldo, Cavani and Zlatan, you're talking about iconic European strikers coming towards the end of their career. Jamie Vardy is about pace, and he's approaching 40. And I don't mean 40 miles an hour. It's not the deal for Manchester United. Jamie Vardy's been a very good Premier League striker for Leicester, respect, but he's not the answer for Manchester United. And why would you want a striker for 1 year? What's happened to this fan base? I want an old, past-it Premier League striker for 1 year. Why? What are you going to do next year? Get another one in. It's a farce. The striker situation is an absolute farce. We've gone from Gyökeres, Delap, Osimhen to Calvert-Lewin and Jamie Vardy and Callum Wilson. It's incredible. Like, this is a really important position. A really important position. It's like saying, I'm gonna take a boat across the English Channel, and someone's saying there's a big hole in it, and say, just pass us the sellotape, it'll be fine, never to be seen again. We can't keep putting plasters on open wounds. And it amazes me, the players that we're being linked to, and the amount of prats in the mainstream saying, I think it'd be a good idea for them to get Calvert-Lewin. I don't think there's much difference between Calvert-Lewin and Gyökeres. I mean, it's just crazy. It's almost like they want us to fail, but we should be signing a striker. And I like Xerxes, I like Rasmus, I like Obi, but we need a striker. Like, we need somebody to bear the heavy load of being a Man United striker. And that means experience and quality. And that was something we needed before the summer transfer window, and we need it now. And the fact that it's not even a conversation is incredible, because we're still messing about on the Mbeumo deal. We aren't even talking to a striker. So I think you're in a position now on the 10th of July where I would say pretty high chance we won't have a new striker for the Arsenal game. I know that's still 4.5 weeks away, but 7 weeks on an Mbeumo deal, not even talking to a striker at the moment. Well, I tell a lie. It's very quick to do a free transfer, isn't it? Maybe we will have Calvert-Lewin for Arsenal, but I mean, that is as scary as it's incredible to me. So it's a shocking state of affairs. It's not a surprising state of affairs, but it's a shocking state of affairs in relation to what we're doing with the striker at the moment. And I don't think it's being discussed enough, because I tell you what's happening. It's the drip, drip, drip effect of the Glazer management, where you just basically drown this fan base on piss. We're just swallowing it. And we're just going, actually, it doesn't taste that bad. Coming into this summer transfer season, worst ever Premier League side, lose to Spurs in a final, can't score goals. In the middle of July, I've got people saying, I reckon Xerxes could do a job. It's amazing the mentality that they inflict on us. I think Xerxes could do a job. We might be okay with Rasmus and Obi. We need a fucking striker. We need a striker. Come on. On that, the reason I want to talk about the striker is Bild are saying that Manchester United remain interested in a move for Eintracht Frankfurt frontman Hugo Ekitike, with the striker's asking price set at 86 million. Well, what was I worried about? It's only 86 million for one of the best up-and-coming young strikers in Europe. I mean, what I've been worried about, it's clearly going to happen. I mean, just put your feet up. In fact, have a holiday. I tell you what, everyone have a holiday. We'll all piss off to Mallorca, Ibiza, wherever for a week. We'll leave our phones at home. And I guarantee when we come back a week on Saturday, Ekitike will be holding up the shirt. We don't need to worry. We don't need to worry. I mean, God, all I want is a bit of realism. I don't want fantasy. I want real. 86 million for Ekitike. Having said that, I will say this. Under a 100% Glazer ownership, I wouldn't rule it out. I wouldn't rule it out. I think we've seen them before in desperate throes of a transfer window that they've messed up. They'll suddenly find 80 million quid, but not in an Ineos ownership partnership. No chance. Keel Robinson said, I need to say this, Keel, just before I read your super chat. You know, I should have said this near the start, apologies. You know, like we do this show every day and we've been doing it for quite a long time. Over the years, things have been said that are repetitive spin. And some of us, myself included, forget those things and fall for the same trap again and again and again, which is why I've said, Omar Berada said at the end of May, we've been planning this summer transfer window for ages. And that's the line of the summer for me, because we clearly haven't. But there are other pearlers out there. And if anybody can remember any, please bring them in. For example, a certain journalist in the Manchester Evening News, every time the summer transfer window closes and it's not a very good one, puts an article out saying it might not have been a good transfer window, but Man United are planning on massive signings next summer. It happens every year, and we never get the massive signings. But David Ornstein is somebody of credibility, and this is what he had to say in relation to sources coming out of the club in early February. This transfer window has been seen as a transfer window to get the house in order in preparation for the summer transfer window. So basically, Ornstein put it out there, having been told by the club, I presume, that the reason the January transfer window hadn't been as expansive as people wanted it to be was because the January transfer window was about getting everything in order and planned for the summer transfer window. And that's coming in from David Ornstein, arguably the best transfer expert out there, doing his job as a journalist, being told from Manchester United that the January transfer window was really about getting everything in order for the summer transfer window. And you look at that and you go, okay, what did we do in the January transfer window that's helped us for the summer transfer window? Rashford, Antony on loan are back here right now. We needed a striker, we needed a midfielder, we needed a goalkeeper, we haven't got any of them. So what bullshit, basically, again. And it's hard to remember, and you don't always remember them, but across every 12 months, how often do we get fed stuff from The Athletic, David Ornstein, Fabrizio Romano, Manchester Evening News, The Daily Mail, The Telegraph, BBC, from stuff that comes from Man United that ultimately ends up being an absolute crock of spin. And that's a classic example. And I'm glad that I want to shout out the person who sent me this, because it came in from Devil's Info via United Red Report, via an article from David Ornstein via The Athletic on February the 3rd. This window was more about getting the house in order for the summer. Just complete and utter shite, basically. Complete and utter nonsense. Somebody else is... I'm not even reading this. Talks continue between Brentford and United. It makes you want to throw up. It really, really does. Makes you want to throw up. Anyway, let's move on to something a little bit more positive. I mean, I say something positive. There is positive, and there is also, why is this coming out this morning? So we've had a couple of drops interview-wise this morning from Heaven and from Cunha. I like both of these players. I'm very excited about Cunha. But I would say, why, when we've only signed Cunha and he signed in the start of June, why are we putting out interviews through Manchester United about Cunha on July the 10th We've already had a few quotes from him. I appreciate it's the first week back, but you are aware that there is a transfer window open. And I like Cunha and I like some of the stuff he's said, but there's a time and a place. And I don't think this is going to go down as well as it could do if you waited a few weeks. But it's a clear indication to me that nothing's going to happen today. I think you can read United quite well. And if they're putting out an interview with Cunha on Thursday today, they're definitely not preparing for an Embermo, because you wouldn't, you know, that interview drops at eight. This is how it works, right? The interview drops at 8 o'clock. And then for the rest of the day, you've got tweets, TikToks, Instagram reels, quotes all day about that Cunha interview scheduled by Man United. So they're not going to put out an interview on a Thursday morning and then have Embermo deal happen on a Thursday afternoon. I hope I'm wrong about that, but I think we can write off another day. I mean, some people would say you can write off the whole week again, but yeah, I wouldn't. As soon as I saw that, I thought, oh, I'm interested to see what he's got to say, but forget an Embermo deal today. So what did he have to say? Not did he. He's probably got nothing to say at the moment. He's probably legally told to keep his gob shut. But what did he, Cunha, have to say? He said, I'm so happy to be here, of course. After everything I dreamt about, I was very excited to start. To me, a couple of the guys already, I feel a little bit more adapted. He said, I think always like an opponent, you know, it's different. We're joking when I go to the locker room. We're talking about games, especially with Mazraoui. I think it's always with him. Of course, we're talking about the games. We're talking about the season. And yeah, I think everyone was lovely with me. A very warm welcome. He said, I'm wearing the number 10 shirt. Yeah, it's something that you always dream about. I can mention many players that use this shirt. It's so easy for me. Of course, I think the one that I always think about when I see this number in this shirt for me was Wayne Rooney. He was someone that I grew up to watch him play, and I've watched many games now. And I think, look, you know what? There's not a lot there, but we're very fortunate with Embermo and Cunha that they still remember Man United being successful. As 25-year-old men, I suppose as 10-year-old kids 15 years ago, we were still very, very good. 2010, we were still a very good team. We were playing in Champions League finals. We were winning Premier League. So we're very lucky that there are still footballers in their prime that remember us being a big club. And obviously the pull of that number 10 shirt and Wayne Rooney is a big thing. And you can sense from Cunha that he's really excited to be here because he has a real affection and love for Manchester United. As we've said, the clock is ticking. That won't be the case in 5 years' time. You're not going to get people who are 25 in 5 years' time who, when they were 10, look back on United and go, oh, I just loved watching Fellaini run around the midfield. It's just not going to happen. It's going to be a very niche person who feels like that. But we certainly do have that with Cunha, and it's a positive, and it sounds like we've got it with Embermo, but those days are going to run out very, very quickly. And as I said before, my biggest concern is not that. My biggest concern is people are getting richer and richer by being in the Champions League, and we're not. Let me just read some of your comments, but we have also got some quotes coming in from Aidan Heaven. He did an interview with The Athletic. He said that on moving to defence at 15, he says, I only moved into defence when I was 15, quite late. I started playing centre-back when I was 16. I was a left-back before I went to centre-half. I played everywhere, really. The coaches thought I was more suited as a centre-back, and that's how it worked out. He said that... effectively, he made his mind up to come to Manchester United when he watched the Rangers game. I can't remember that Rangers game. God, I don't remember. I think my brain's trying to deny last season, basically. What, I can't remember the Rangers game. It was an Amrim game, wasn't it? It was an Amrim game because Heaven said, I watched the Rangers game and that was when I made my decision to sign for Manchester United because I fancied myself playing in a back three. So it must have been Amrim. I think it was January time, wasn't it? Bruno last minute winner at home, says Patrick. 2-1, says Linda. Yeah, you've got, and I know it was a Europa League game, and I remember, yeah, it was January, wasn't it? I just can't remember the game. I can't remember the game at all. Yeah, so look, Heaven's hopefully he's gonna be a really good signing, actually. Kevin says sporting director seems to have a strong mindset, and after Gyökeres publicly criticized them, I think without getting what they want, they will not let Gyökeres go, says Kevin. Look, If Gyökeres ended up at Man United, I'd be ecstatic. But even if, I was saying this to somebody the other day, if Arsenal had signed Sesko a week ago, we wouldn't be signing Gyökeres because we haven't even signed Mbeumo. We're not even in a position to go and sign him anyway. But Sporting are a very difficult deal, very, very, very difficult club to deal with. We witnessed this ourselves, didn't we, with Bruno. They don't mess about. They're one of those clubs that when you've dealt with them, you realise they're not a football club to mess around with, in the sense that they won't get manipulated. They won't change their mind on things. And I think it'll be very, very interesting to see what happens with that. But I don't see it interest impacting on Manchester United, if I'm being completely honest with you. I think it will be, I think he will end up being an Arsenal player. It just might take them a bit of time. Could Cunha do the striker role, says Mustafa? I mean, he could do. He definitely could do, but that would be, it's like playing Bruno as a holding midfielder, isn't it? It's like putting Casemiro at centre back. He can do a job there, but if you've ever watched Cunha play, genius is a big word. The brilliance of Cunha is his ability to hold people off, dribble, and create. And if you play as a striker, it's not the same. It's not the same. So yes, he could do a job there, but as soon as somebody says, could they do a job there? It's not the most positive thing in the world, is it? Can he do a job there? Spend £62 million on a player to play him in, not in his best position. He's got to play behind the striker. Yeah. Yeah. Let me just catch up on these stuff. I mean, just very quickly, Jadon Sancho. I don't like talking about Jadon Sancho. I find it really boring, obviously. But an update did come out about Jadon Sancho overnight. Fabrizio Romano basically saying, and again, this sits down so many so-called ITK people. I can't believe people sit there doing streams and websites talking about inside knowledge of transfers that they clearly don't have and they constantly get exposed as not having. What these people do is they basically spend an hour scraping everybody's bit of information from that paper, that journalist, that video. They put it all together, they reword it and pretend it's their information. And I've seen people saying Sancho to Juventus is going really well. Like the talks are really, really close. They're really, really close. Fabrizio Romano last night, despite everything, there's no concrete talks between Sancho and Juventus. The deal is not close by any means. And you think, it's just people are just getting sat down all over the place. We're going to run out of chairs. But Give Me Sport are saying that Man United are considering selling Sancho for a significantly lower transfer fee of 15 million as they struggle to find a buyer to reach their 25 million valuation. I mean, I'm all I'm going to say about Sancho is this. I have been very consistent about this and I am very confused about this. And 99.9% of the time, to be honest, we're just fans talking. Every now and again, you get a little bit of info, but 99% of the time, it's just pure opinion. And I've said this about Sancho. I don't understand what we are doing, thinking we're going to get a fee. He's on massive wages and he's out of contract in a year. The most logical thing for Sancho to do is to run that contract down and earn a shitload of money next year. Why would you agree to going anywhere on a pay cut so Man United can make money? It just never made any sense to me. So all these people talking about swap deals and 25 million, I'm like, unless there's something going on there that we're not aware of, it actually makes no sense. So what makes sense is that we're nowhere near selling Sancho. There is no deal out there. And people keep saying, well, he won't lower his wage demands. I'm not Sancho's biggest fan, but would you lower your wage demands? If you run 250K a week at a club you don't like, and that club is saying, we've got a deal lined up for 20 million, but you've got to take a 50% pay cut. And you know, in a year's time, you're out of contract. And you know, for the next year, you can earn 250K a week. Why would you go, yeah, that sounds great? I'd go, So you're telling me I can halve my wages and go somewhere where you can earn 20 million, or I can stay here, earn double my wages of what I'd get there, and in a year's time, keep earning that and a big sign-on fee. Yeah, you can have that and you can have that. And that's the thing I've always thought about the Sancho deal. It's not logical that he would take a pay cut to help us get a transfer fee. It's never been logical. And nobody can afford his wages. So I don't see how this works. I don't see how this works. At best, you sell him for 15 million and then part of that 15 million goes to him to cover his wages for the next year. But I just think we're wasting our time. Would we be in a different position in the transfer window if we sold Bruno to Al Hilal? This is going to keep coming back, XO, and it's unfair because you can't put Bruno in the same category as a Rashford or a Garnacho or a Sancho, who are making this club's life very difficult. But somebody said this to me the other day, and I wanted to bring it in, actually, so thank you very much for reminding me. Somebody said this to me the other day. Everybody who said we should have sold Bruno for £100 million, and this person actually did agree with that. They said, look, I would have done it because he's 31, he's being played out of position, it's a risk, and £100 million is just ridiculous money. But what they then said was, if we took that £100 million, we'd have had money to spend, and we'd have gone off spending, but we wouldn't be selling. So you'd be bringing these players in, but you'd still have Rashford, Garnacho, Sancho, and you probably wouldn't be working on him because you'd be working on buys. Their point was, the big problem with this transfer window is the planning. It's like it's all over the place. If we'd sold Bruno, we'd have had money, but we wouldn't have had the resources to sell the other players that need to go. And by not selling Bruno, we still haven't been able to sell those players, and we've not got the money to buy other players. So what they were basically saying is, yeah, look, selling Bruno would have given you money, but you still would have had a pile of shit that they wouldn't have been working on selling either. I think what they were basically saying is we would have been in shit either way with a little bit more money in our pocket. Ineos should have made 25 million off of Sancho to Chelsea, but they decided to put a 5 million clause to send him back to us. Mind-blowing stuff, says Trey. If the players we're trying to sell were from other clubs, would you want these players? These players tarnish their names now, they're risky buys. This is a great question, Jay. I've never really thought about it like that. I'd take Garnacho. Let's pretend I'm the chairman of Aston Villa. I would take Garnacho, 100%. 20 years of age. Okay, there's an attitude problem there. There's some bad advice there, but you would have a chat with him. And if he gives you any indication that he's focused, which he does, you know, he's never injured. He always wants to play. It's just there's an attitude issue there. I would take that risk on him for 40 million, 45 million package. I would 100% take that risk because I think the rewards outweigh the negatives. Marcus Rashford, I would take him if he would lower his wages and it was a reasonable price with Manchester United. I'd give Man United 30 million and I'd give Rashford 200 grand a week. That would be it. I still think there's a good player there. I definitely would do it. Sancho, he'd be my least. I'd look at. Sancho would be the least I would look at. Don't think he's suitable for the Premier League. Huge wages. I don't think so. I don't know how relevant this is, but it sort of backs up what I was saying at the start. So I just want to say thank you very much. I don't know. I've just been sent something and I don't know when the quote's from. But Napoli president Oriello De Laurentiis on Garnacho. Garnacho's got pace, flair and potential, but that's not even why we want him. We want him because he's at United. Get him out and he becomes twice the player. There's a fault at United that I can't explain. I don't know where this quote's come from. It's all over socials, but I don't know how recent it is. I mean, it might not help them in their quest to sign him by slagging off Manchester United. But it sounds a bit of a strange quote, but it's definitely all over. Don't know whether it's true. I'm just trying to see if I can source it for you while we're here.
Vlahovic.
Yeah, I think this might be a fake quote. It doesn't sound right, does it?
No. There we go.
Okay, I think I found it here. It looks like there's an article from Alessandro Garnacho. Here we go, found it. Napoli president has reaffirmed the Italian club's interest in Manchester United winger Garnacho, believing he will become twice the player if he leaves Old Trafford. We want him because he's at United. Get him out and he becomes twice the player. I mean, look, I didn't even know about that. And we spent the first 10 minutes talking about Napoli wanting Garnacho and it being the best option for him. And it was the best option for him at the start of June. It's well known that Napoli want him. And there's the president. Half an hour later, we're getting a quote like that. It's an interesting quote, you know, because dissecting that live, they're saying they want him. And he'll be twice the player there. I mean, if United, you're sort of rubbing your hands together and going, well, you're not helping yourselves in negotiations here, are you? I mean, you are. That, to me, fits in exactly with what we were told at the start of June and again last night. Garnacho, Napoli, nailed on if Garnacho wants it. He wanted it in January. He wanted it at the end of the season, but something's happened with Premier League clubs that's made him think that might be option, that might be a possibility. But that sounds like a play for the player from the Napoli president. That sounds to me like we don't care about Man United, we want the player. It makes sense. In some sense, you sort of like go, well, it's not a very clever thing to say publicly that you want the player and you'll make him twice the player because Man United will be thinking, ooh, we'll get him. But actually, United are not in a strong position. What that is all about from the president is, we really want you. Look at what we're saying about you publicly. Is anyone else saying that about you publicly? We've just won the Italian League. We're going to be in the Champions League. We're ambitious. We want you. We'll make you twice the player that you are at the moment. We want you here at this football club. That is a public backing of a player to massage his ego and make him think they really want me. And Conte will be the making of him. If Garnacho went to Napoli, not in the Premier League, I hope he does really well. I don't like the Villa shirt thing, but as long as he doesn't play for another Premier League club, I really hope he does go and fulfil the talent I really think he's got. But it's in Garnacho's shoes now, because that's a play. That's a play from them. I don't think they'll be worried about what Man United say, because Man United won't be able to get what they want. But yeah. Andy Weatherall says, can we not just play 3-10s and no striker? Well, we can, Andy, but I don't think the Amrim system works that well like that. I think you need a striker that's chasing down and playing on the last man in an Amrim system. Will we put in a sell-on clause for Garnacho? Yes, 100%, Rob. I would have thought so, yeah. Would we be in a different position? I've done that from about Bruno. Would it be there? Ineos should have made 25 million off Santa. Done that from Trey. Breaking news, Man United are getting ready for January via Athletic. Be prepared for a story like this. End of summer, says Harvey. Well, they do it all the time. They do it all the time. At the end of every crap transfer window, it's always the next one that's going to be the best. Getting Gyökeres now would remind me of Di Maria, says Jacob. Could Cunha do the striker role? We've done that from Mustafa. What do you think about Alan Pardew saying Dominic Calvert-Lewin is as good as Gyökeres, which is why United should sign him? You just got to think about what type of a manager Pardew was. I can't remember his Pratt dance in the final against us in 2016. Also, you've got to remember the station he's talking on. Talk shit. And there you get your answer. Hi, Mark. Does the current striker crisis at United now give you a different perspective on the potential Delap signing at the start of the window? Would you take him? Would you now take him in a heartbeat, says Cowboy? No. I think this is a good question. Would I take Liam Delap at this point? Yes, because we're desperate. Do I think Liam Delap was the signing when I heard it was the priority in April? No. Just because we're desperate doesn't mean you should change your morals. My morals were that United need the best striker they can get who's 25 or over. We don't need a learner driver. And you look at Chelsea, the chances are Delap's going to be the backup striker as well. So I would take Delap now because we're desperate. But I still don't think it was the striker we needed. Like, we needed a more experienced one. Did you see Alan Pardew on Talk Sport say Calvert-Lewin is the same level as Gyökeres on his day? You've spelt that wrong, HW. You said Talk Sport. It's actually Talk Shit. But no, I spoke about it on Terry's channel the other day. I mean, it's just total nonsense. I really hope we go for Ramos of PSG. 40 million should do it. He's experienced and better than the options we're linked to. I don't think that's a bad shout, Daniel. I don't think Ramos from PSG is what I would want. But in relation to what's out there, I'd take him over Vlahovic. I'd take him over Calvert-Lewin, Vardy, Wilson. Yeah, I'd agree with you on that one. I mean, it's not the striker I want, but on what's available, I would. We don't need a striker. We need a grade A striker and not one on a par with what we already have, says Matthew. Many players have great potential, and with Amrim in pre-season, we'll bring strong. Just two or three more signings needed for a solid squad, says Faisal. But I would rather Xerxes up front than buy Vardy. Oh, yeah, I agree with that, Dazzo. Keel says, it's because we all still have big contracts at the moment. We're looking for quick fixes in one window. Rebuild when big contracts are gone. They won't be gone, Keel. We've spoken about this before. There's this myth that this will hit a point where all these big contracts will be gone, but they won't. Casemiro's contract will be gone in a year. Maguire's big wage will be gone in a year. But Luke Shaw's big wage is here for another 2 years. Rashford's big wage is here for another 3 years. Mason Mount's big wage is here for another 4 years. Onana's big wage is here for another 3 years. The stadium might be built before we get rid of some of these big wages. People talk about, like, there's a time coming really soon when all these bad contracts will be gone, but they're not. Who's had the best window so far out of the traditional top six? In order would be great, says Jay. But not on here. I'll do it on That's Football this morning. I'll write that down. Don't want to depress Islot. What do you think of Edson Álvarez for CDM? He's a player that plays for the badge. Not under Amrim. He won't be coming. Stick. You're better off getting Richard Rios. How does insurance work for the Premier League clubs regarding salaries when a player is unavailable? Do they cover anything? Don't know, Slazy. Don't know. Have you seen the Bola tweet about Gyökeres? Yes, spoke about that. And if Spurs get Wizza, will we still get in Burmo? Says Liam. Yep. Knowing Berta, what if this getting Sporting to get to a certain price is a way to get Leipzig finally budge? Arteta wants Sesko over Gyökeres as well, says Sujoy. You're basically saying that Arsenal have played Gyökeres to get Sesko. I mean, that'd be very harsh. I don't know about that. Lee Berman says, Joey Barton's shitty board podcast using your video with Terry from Tuesday, doing it for clout. The big question is, Lee, what are you doing watching that podcast? I mean, I've got nothing to say about that bloke. There is literally nothing about him or that you know, just would... Pardew, talk shit, people like that, I can have a conversation about. People like him, you just wouldn't go anywhere near. Like, nothing. Don't ever bring that. We should block the word. Who's the young striker we signed? Says Liam Vernon. Don't know. Just another 18-year-old that's going to go on loan somewhere, I think. Which is good. Might be great in a few years' time. But, you know, we can't keep talking about that sort of stuff, really, can we? Let me just double check on stuff that's coming in. Getting quite a lot of stuff coming around here. Yeah, that's a load of shit. So I've got Ben Jacobs on at 2 o'clock today. So any questions, just whack them into the comments section and I'll come back in about an hour and we can come back and have a look at those because I want to ask him quite a few things about quite a few things. But look, as I said, the general sense is that at the moment and for the foreseeable future, Ruben Amorim has been told to make do with what he's got. You've got Cunha, crack on. Not getting a goalkeeper, not getting a midfielder, not getting a striker. hopefully going to get Mbeumo at some point in the future, but we need to sell to buy, and that's where it is. Janu says, United posting videos of Xerxes as a striker, is that a sign? I like Xerxes. Maybe he is going to be the striker. Maybe the plan was to use Xerxes as a striker all along and sell Rasmus and bring another striker in. If we're keeping Rasmus, maybe we're not getting a striker. Maybe we're going to go with Xerxes and Rasmus. That might work, but is this not why we struggled last year? Also, it's taking away the fact that I like Xerxes and I like Rasmus, even though a lot of people don't rate them. Taking that away and not criticising them two at all because it's not their fault. How does a football club that's had a season like it has last year say we don't need a striker? When they definitely did, because they tried to buy three and didn't get any of them. If they'd said at the start of May, we're not looking for a striker, we could all sit here and moan we should be getting a striker. A lot of people think we should be getting a right wing back, but we're not even going to get one. But the club let it be known we wanted a striker. So if they don't go and get one and pretend that they're happy with what they've got, they've bantered themselves, because we know that they've been in talks with at least three already. So if they don't get one, by their own admission, they failed. Oh, it came up on your X feed, says Lee Berman. Thank you very much about that. Thoughts on Christopher Favelle? Very good at recruiting young players, Cameron. Don't think he's got much experience like Wilcox when it comes to the top level of the game. But both are very good around young talent, as we've seen already. We've recruited some really good young talent, as Aidan Heaven is one. But they're very inexperienced when it comes to the older players. And they need to learn quickly. We will put in sell-on clauses for Garnacho. Yeah. Okay, thanks everyone for watching. Absolute legends. Loads of you tuning in. We are live at 8 o'clock tonight, but don't miss the 2 o'clock show. It's me with Ben Jacobs, and I've got loads of questions I'm going to ask him. Let's see what we can get out of him this afternoon at 2. Take care, everyone. Have a great day. Stay safe, and I will speak to you all very soon. Thank you.